Hey, it's Kathy, and this is Beyond the Plate Heard, the audio newsletter where I share what's on my plate, literally and figuratively. From culinary insights to restaurants and recipes, it's everything that I'm seeing, tasting, and talking about in just a few minutes. It's not a peer-reviewed culinary journal. It's just my take on what I'm into at the moment. So let's dive in, and I hope you all take something from my plate. All right, first up is Motec Restaurant in Miami. Okay, so Motec, it's technically a Miami story, but not for long because they're now opening in New York. It's a family-owned Mediterranean concept that started in Miami a little over 5 years ago, and they've been expanding pretty fast. As I said, they've opened a few locations, two or three, I believe, in New York and more on the way. And if you're wondering, Motec means sweetheart in Hebrew. So I've been hearing about Motec for a while, but when I was in Miami this past February for the South Beach Wine and Food Festival, I swear like three different people brought up the restaurant to me. And whenever I hear about a restaurant from multiple people, my ears perk up a little bit naturally. It's usually a pretty good sign and I want to pay attention to it. But unfortunately, my schedule in Miami was pretty packed because I was there for work and events, and pretty much every minute on the ground was spoken for. But I had a late afternoon flight home from Miami, so I came up with a plan. I called in a nice big takeout order from Motec. I had it delivered to our hotel before I headed to the airport. So there I was, toting around my big Motec bag through security, through the airport, and looking semi-ridiculous, which I did not care about at all. And then I got to try all this delicious Motec food before I boarded my flight. And it was a pretty good travel decision, if I say so myself. And a couple of things that I remember loving from the order, there were a lot, but I remember these Moroccan cigars were delicious. And then there was this crunchy cabbage salad that my friend Kara in Miami had mentioned to me. Sounds pretty simple, but it was ridiculously good. Anyhow, if you're in Miami, put Motec on your list. And if you're in New York or going to New York, well, you can add it to your list there too. And I have a feeling these folks are growing. They have a couple other concepts as well, but I have a feeling we'll be seeing them in other cities outside of Miami in New York. At least that's my hope. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. Next up is Row 7 Seed Company's Tinned Vegetables. Okay, this company is great. I have been a fan of Row 7 for a while now. I've cooked with their Kogi Nut Squash before, and they have a bunch of other produce varieties as well. But what caught my attention really was their line of tinned vegetables. And I think it's pretty brilliant because you hear all this buzz about tinned fish. I feel like it's all the rage, and that's cool. I think it's a good thing. But the tinned vegetables, like, I feel like that's more my jam. And if the Row 7 like brand or company sounds familiar, the incomparable Chef Dan Barber of Blue Hill is one of the people behind the company. And the idea of Row 7 is pretty simple. They say they start with better seeds, with better varieties, and they end up with better tasting food. And the company essentially was built by chefs, farmers, plant breeders, and what they call plant eaters, all with the goal of creating produce that's bred for flavor first. And apparently that philosophy extends to their tins, their tinned vegetables. And right now for the tinned vegetables, they have three varieties. I tasted the tomatoes and I tasted the beets. Both were excellent. I still have not cracked open the garlic. It's called G-A-R-L-E-E-K, which is pretty much what it sounds like, a garlic leek hybrid. But their pitch is pretty straightforward. It's vegetables selected for flavor, grown by organic farmers, cooked by Row 7 chefs, and ready to eat. You can toss them onto a salad, stir them into a pasta, serve them as a side dish, or do what I did and just ate them right out of the tin. Anyhow, if you're a vegetable fan and you're looking for a different way to enjoy them, definitely check these out. I'm very curious to see where they take this category next. Next up is Frozen Gin and Tonics. Now, if you've listened to Beyond the Plate for a while now, or if you follow me on social, you may know that I'm a pretty big gin and tonic fan. I like a classic one. And I could probably trace this back to a trip I took years ago in northern Spain, specifically San Sebastian. If you've never had a gin and tonic there, you must. It's not just a drink, it's an experience. It's this giant goblet, glass, beautiful garnishes, incredible attention to detail. Overall, they take their gin and tonics very seriously. And ever since that trip, I've had a soft spot for them, I gotta say. So naturally, given my recent obsession with the Ninja Creamy, which I've also talked about on Herd, I started wondering, can I use that slushy function and turn a gin and tonic into a gin and tonic slushy, like a frozen dessert, if you will? The answer appears to be yes. And yes, before anyone asks, I'm using Ford's gin. It's one of my go-tos for a gin and tonic. And also, don't skimp on the tonic water either. Use a good one. I've already mixed up the base and I froze it. And as of this recording, it's sitting in my freezer waiting for its first spin in the creamy. This could be a complete disaster. It could also be one of my new summer go-to treats. So if you happen to be a Ninja Creamy owner and want the recipe, shoot me a message. I'm happy to share it. And stay tuned until the end of this episode, because my one last thing before I leave you this week is actually related to this frozen experiment. Next up is ReFed's Catalytic Grant Fund. I've talked about ReFed before on Herd, but if you're not familiar, ReFed is a nonprofit working across the entire food system to reduce food loss and food waste. Now, I often describe ReFed as the North Star of the food waste world. They are a resource, huge resource for data, research, tools, partnerships, strategic direction for everybody from nonprofits and foundations to corporations and businesses, startups, and even policymakers. Anyhow, one of the things they're doing that I think is especially exciting is their Catalytic Grant Fund. The short version is that they identify a group of promising food waste solutions across the food system, and they help them grow through targeted funding, and they give them hands-on support. So they run this open call around specific food waste challenges or themes, and then they deploy both recoverable and non-recoverable grants to organizations with the potential to create meaningful impact in the food waste space. But it's not just about writing checks for them. They also help connect grantees with resources, expertise, and opportunities that can really help accelerate their work. It's a really smart program, it's strategic, and it's exactly the kind of work that's needed in this space if we are very serious about reducing food waste at scale, which we are. I'll share a link in the show notes, but spend a few minutes exploring some of these organizations and initiatives that they've supported. There are some really innovative and inspiring companies and ideas coming from all over the country. Next up is Fields Good Functional Cookies. Now, if that name sounds a little familiar, well, there's a reason. Fields Good was co-founded by Ashley Fields, the daughter of the iconic Mrs. Fields, and her college friend, Kim Anderson. At the moment, it's only a D2C, a direct-to-consumer brand, which means you can only order them online. But I have a sneaking suspicion that's not going to be the case for long, because these feel like the kind of product that you'll suddenly start seeing pop up everywhere. The idea is pretty simple. It's a soft baked cookie that combines some nostalgic flavors that we all know and love with some science-backed functional ingredients that are designed to support different parts of the day. So we're talking about different things like a peanut butter protein cookie. And then there's a mocha chocolate cookie that's formulated to help you focus during the day. And then there's an oatmeal raisin cookie that's designed to help support sleep. Honestly, these sound pretty cool to me. And as they put it, they're reinventing the cookie as a functional snack that supports how you think, move, and rest. So if functional foods are your thing, or if you're just curious what the next generation of the Fields family is up to, Fields Good feels like it's worth checking out. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. One last thing before I leave you. You heard me talk about frozen gin and tonics earlier, so here's a little gin and tonic related thought. If you're someone who automatically reaches for a lime when making a gin and tonic, consider swapping it out for a lemon. As I mentioned, I first became obsessed with gin and tonics during this trip to northern Spain many years ago, and over there, you'll often find them served with lemon rather than lime. And the thing is, most bartenders here instinctively grab the lime because that feels like the standard move, but for me, I'm all team lemon. I find it like it's a little brighter and it just seems to go better with the gin and the tonic. And I'm not saying lime is wrong. I'm just saying the next time you're making a gin and tonic, try a lemon. You might surprise yourself, or you might decide I'm completely wrong. thanks for listening to Herd, a production of Beyond the Plate. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. If you like this episode, please tap the follow button and tune in for more Herd, where I share what I'm seeing, tasting, and loving lately in food and hospitality. And if your friends and family may enjoy it, I hope you'll share it with them. Until next time.